1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. About $97,695 we've raised for my friend's place with the sale of our CD. And here's what I was talking about yesterday to you. I was talking about, you know, talk radio and how much I really don't like it. I just don't like it. It's no comment on any personality. I'm not a fan of news talk. I'm a proponent of and one of the foremost practitioners of radio, entertaining radio that doesn't have to play music. That's really what we do in our show. That's what we believe in. That's what we do. And we're not interested really in changing the world or otherwise, you know, getting people's opinions and hearing what people have to say and taking the pulse of the community is not anything we do very well here, nor are we interested in it. However, there's some shows and some radio stations that make that claim, as I'm sure you know. Now, listen to this. Very nice guy by the name of Harry Shearer emailed this to me last night. This is from the New York Post. A controversial news service is providing professional callers for radio stations that feel ordinary phone-in listeners are not lively enough. Stations that use the professional callers rarely identify them as ringers, which is apparently part of the appeal of Callers on Demand, one of several programming services offered by Manhattan-based United Stations, a syndication company partly owned by TV veteran Dick Clark. Our army of live callers are standing by to jumpstart your morning show, reads a pitch on the company's website. Let's face it, most mornings, if the caller sucks, you're out of luck. Why risk it? Callers on Demand, which is targeted mainly to music station DJs who take calls and do phone bits, but also is available to all talk stations, provides improvisational comedians and impersonators who talk about hot topics, bring phone scams to life, and generally act like real people. They'll be the dream listeners you really deserve but so rarely get, the website promises stations. The rise of services that provide ready-made callers is part of a growing trend in the media to spice up reality programming with seasoned pros. One of the cast members, for instance, of Survivor, which debuted last night, is a TV chef. Another one of the people on Survivor is a Hollywood actress, albeit a bit player. United Stations Programming Vice President Andy Denmark says a couple of dozen stations have signed up for Callers on Demand. There's nothing malicious about this. It's true comedic entertainment, not like a doctor recommending a treatment or something, Denmark told the New York Post. I think it's pretty clear that it's satire, said Denmark. Oh, is it? Irene Ryan wasn't really a grandma from the hills, but she was an actress. Of course she was. No money actually changes hands. Instead, stations trade on used commercial time, blah, blah, blah. In exchange, Denmark says stations take their pick of our performers on call, like a trailer park girl, a Chinese delivery guy, a 7-Eleven guy, people who do accents. If you want to call the local 7-Eleven guy about the Super Bowl, you can't just do it randomly, he says. One of the reasons, if I could just drop this comment in, ladies and gentlemen, one of the reasons why you can't randomly call the local 7-Eleven guy about the Super Bowl is it's illegal to put people on the air without their permission, even though I'm sure you hear plenty of guys doing it. And I don't mean to rat them out, but I think I will, because I got busted by an attorney down in Miami because of this, and I was told by the station attorney, don't you ever put anybody on the air, Henry, without telling them first. You got us in enough trouble, blah, 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 blah. So I said, yes, sir, man. Yes, sir, boss, man. And I came out to L.A. and I'm listening to all these clowns, that Johnny B., this guy putting people on the air without telling anybody, and nobody busting him. That's a freaking felony in the state of California. That's a felony. Okay? That means, you know, that's a criminal offense. That's not just a civil thing. But Henry can't do it because I got the lawyers telling me I can't do it. All these other schmucks are doing it. How come they get away with it? I don't. See, what we do on our show is very simply this. We present the most interesting callers in radio because we present ourselves in an interesting way, so we naturally get callers. That's what we do on our show. We do a very unique thing. We create characters, and we create scenarios, and they are so fascinating and interesting that we naturally get really good callers, real people responding organically to that real circumstance. And plus, we've got a great producer screener in Mike Schaefer who gets us only the best callers. Why? Because we've got talent on this show. And what do these cats not have that sign up for Callers on Demand? Well, one of the things they lack is talent. They're also lazy. Look it. You can do whatever you want. I don't see anything wrong with this. I mean, I honestly don't, because if you're going to present a theatrical piece, if you are doing radio as an entertainment medium, you ought to be allowed to pay callers. You ought to be allowed to hire them. You ought to be allowed to coach them. You ought to be allowed to present them in any way that you want. All I'm telling you is we don't have to do that. That's number one. Now I'm going to say something that maybe I shouldn't say. I'm going to say it anyway. Number two, I had a meeting with Andy Denmark 5 years ago about my show in New York. I was in New York, and I talked to the people at United Stations. They're very nice people, and Andy was very fascinated with my show. I also, 2 years ago, had a meeting with Dick Clark, and he was interested in my show and what we do. Well, ain't that funny now that United Stations has got funny callers on demand? We got them all over the place on this show, and they're real, and I don't pay any of them. We don't have to, because we have a way of getting real callers. All right, that having been said, let me continue. So, listen to this. So this is called Callers on Demand. And Mr. Denmark goes on to say, if you want to call the local 7-Eleven guy about the Super Bowl, you can't just do it randomly. We have one person who does a brilliant 5-year-old girl who calls stations and tells dirty jokes she supposedly heard from her father. Now checking in are the general managers and program directors on why they don't like this, which really makes me laugh, because the guys that are talking here, one of them is Jack Swanson of KGO San Francisco. He says, this is unbelievable. If radio starts hiring fake callers to spice up their shows, why not start making up news stories on slow news days? Well, why not? As if this guy and his radio station, as if they don't manufacture topics in order to get callers. David Bernstein, program director of New York's WOR, said, it's one thing to do a obvious put-on like a Bill Clinton call-in, but we do legitimate calls from legitimate listeners and wouldn't want listeners to wonder if a caller was real or not. Those guys on both those stations, their hosts, will do anything to get people to call. And most hosts will do anything to get people to call. Most hosts sit there, and the one worry that they have when they sit down is that they're going to see an empty board. There will be no calls. I mean, they're sweating bullets. On this show, we don't care. We don't care. We only take the best calls. We don't get them. We don't take them. We don't put any calls on the air. But most hosts will sweat bullets trying to get callers, and so they'll get increasingly more outrageous or increasingly more provocative in order to try to get somebody to call the show. And that's why it just doesn't ring very, very genuine coming from the guys that run KGO and WOR in New York, which are supposed issue talk stations that only put the real people on talking about the real stuff. Look, pal, you guys will talk about anything to get people to call your shows, because you can't get any. Otherwise, your hosts don't know what to do. A half a dozen other radio programmers echoed similar sentiments. This is a talk show host Lynn Samuels in New York said this. Deceptive, using staged phone calls are deceptive to the listeners, and they're an out for lazy and untalented hosts. Now, that's true. Denmark expects more stations to sign up for Callers on Demand, adding, we're proud that we see a need and are able to staff up and yap, bop, 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 bop. What do you think of that? I like what Lynn Samuel said. It's an out for lazy and untalented. In other words, if you aren't interesting enough to get good calls, just call, get callers on demand, and we'll for a fee. So you got to start paying for your phone calls. That's like having to pay for sex, isn't it? Not that I haven't done that. Not that any of us on this show would be above that. But geez, I mean, there's only so far I'll sink. It's only so low I will go, ladies and gentlemen. Pay for sex, yes. Pay for phone calls, never. I got certain morals and scruples on this show, okay? I'll buy drugs, I'll pay for sex, I will never pay for a phone call. That's just how I feel about that. So you guys out there, when you're listening to your usual run-of-the-mill talk shows, you know, the ones that, tell you they care about how you feel, you know, those ones, when they're going to do the issues, you know. Keep in mind that a lot of those phone calls you're going to start hearing are actors, phony balonies that are paid. We don't do that on the Phil Henry Show, contrary to what you may think, what you may hear. Because some people say, what Phil Henry does is so incredible. What we do on the Phil Henry Show is so amazing. He must be paying those callers. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. It just don't happen. We don't do it. We don't have to. We know what we're doing. We're radio pros. We're artists. We're actors. We're jugglers. We drink. So keep that in mind. Coming to a radio station near you, callers on demand from United Stations, Vice President Andy Denmark, and the guy who partially owns that company, Dick Clark. And both guys had conversations with Phil Henry over the last couple of years and heard our CDs, by the way, which have oodles and oodles of really interesting callers on them. And I could well imagine, this is just my opinion, but I could well imagine them sitting back and saying, now how can we get really interesting callers for other shows? I know, let's pay them. I sat down with these guys, and they said to me, you know what you do, Phil? Why don't you just hire actors to play the parts of these characters? I said, why? It's more money. It's too much money. It's more overhead for the station. It's more overhead for the company that hires me. I do it. Secondly, I have more control over when I do it. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's really, yeah. Cut to 5 years later, that's what they're pitching. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just fanciful conversation, just paranoid, that's all. 1-800-449-8686, it's the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. So anyway, you know, so you get this callers on demand service. This is a service that will get you phone callers for your show, right? And you can pay. You can pay United Stations, and they will. I don't know what the hell they do. I mean, they just say, "Here's our list of callers," but you pay them, and then they, or you're paying for these people to call your show. You're buying phone calls for your show. I mean, that is the end. That's basically the end. That should signal the end of your career. It really should. It should. Any well-meaning, well-thinking radio professional, and I put that in quotes, should finally just say, don't worry, you don't have to say anything to me, I'm leaving the building now. When a PD or a GM walks up to you and says, you know what we did for you, babe? We found the money in the budget. I don't know how we did it. We had to fire six people, but we've got the money in the budget. We are buying phone calls for your show. I would rather have sex with a man. In fact, I have. And now I'll let you people think whether that's true or not. How about that, huh? I'll let people start wondering whether that's true or not. Then to have some guy say, hey, babe, we're buying phone calls for your show. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I mean, it's stinking the joint out, and God knows we can't. You know, if you were dead, you couldn't attract a female fly. So what we're going to try to do, you know, is we're going to try to somehow save your show, and we're going to buy phone calls. I remember, you know, a lot of stations do it. Maria was, I don't want to say which station, but she was in San Diego doing some fill-in work. The program director down there said, hey, listen, if you want to start lining your phone calls up, you go right ahead. And she didn't know what he was talking about. What do you mean, line it up? Well, get your friends to call it. Get your friends to call in? Isn't that nuts? Anyway, that's something you can buy, and I thought I'd alert you to that because this is going to begin this is the end, man. I mean, it's the end, and what's really kind of interesting about it for me is I think it's good because it rips the final veneer away from the phony balonies that tell you they're running an issue talk or news talk radio station like they really care about you. It rips the veneer away from that, and it tells you exactly what we're in business to do here, which is to entertain and hopefully hold on to advertisers. And so as we move into the 21st century, you're now left to wonder whether or not these phone calls are real or not. And then, of course, we move into the next step, which has always been where this show lives. We live about two blocks down the street. Everybody's here. We're like two blocks ahead of everybody else. What we think is, why do we have to take phone calls anyway? Because you know a phony call. We screen them here, and we're the best at screening phone calls in the show. You can tell a phony baloney. You can tell somebody's trying to be funny. And there's nothing worse than anybody trying to be funny. Any listener calling your show, trying to do shtick, it's just death. And I'm not saying I'm the funniest guy in the world, but I can tell you this much. I can bomb on my own. I don't need any help from people calling in who think they're a laugh riot, you know, or some service where we've got a lot of actors and a little five-year-old girl that tells dirty jokes. Well, that's good. That'll help me. Five-year-old girls that tell dirty jokes. That'll push me right over the edge, man, like as in Niagara Falls. So anyway, we'll see how that goes. Now, the XFL is going to be starting, and I purchased my season tickets today. I got my season tickets for the Los Angeles Extreme football team, and I didn't ask for any favors. I called the LA Extreme office. I actually had Mike do a little preliminary calling because I was doing something else, but Mike called up, and he said something like, "Hi, I'm Mike Schaefer. I'm with the Phil Hendry radio show. Mr. Hendry's curious about getting season tickets, and, oh, there's no special rates for him? Okay, thanks." And anyway, well, what I tried to do is, you know, in when you're gardening, you try to fertilize the ground, you till the soil. Mike was tilling the soil for me. Just came up dead, that's all. So I call him up and go, "Hi, this is Phil Hendry. I tried it again. I'm with the radio show, and I was wondering, you know, maybe you guys could hook me up." And, "Yes, Mr. Hendry, we've got seats available. And how about a 50-yard line seat?" I thought there'd be 50-yard line seats. They're sold out. They're sold out of the 50-yard line seats, which are like $35 a ticket. I said, "I want four. What can I get?" She goes, "We'll give you four on the 20. Now, I had 20-yard line seats for the Rams. They're not bad. 20-yard line seats are pretty cool. Plus, they're about 30 rows up. And that's pretty good. It's close to the field. You can hear the helmets cracking. Beautiful." So I said, "Okay, I'll take that." And, you know, by the way, I am Phil Hendry. "I got that, sir. I don't know who you are." "Okay, thank you." Because I do that celebrity thing occasionally. I literally, it embarrasses the hell out of my wife. And I don't give a crap. Look, my wife says to me, "Call up, get reservations for a family of six. We need to get into the Outback Steakhouse." So I call it a steakhouse. "Hi, you got a reservation for six?"
"Well, we don't take reservations, sir."
"I'm a celebrity. So let's go. Come on, baby." "Oh, you are, sir. You're a celebrity. And who are you?" "I'm Phil Hendry. I do a radio show, KFI locally in Los Angeles. I'm with 78 affiliates across the country."
"Uh-huh."
"So let's move it. Come on. Where's my table? Where's my corner table?" I don't care. I'll just, you know. "Hi." Like, I'll walk into a restaurant. I'll walk right up to the hostess. "Hi, I'm a celebrity. Where's my, I need a corner table?" More people ought to do that. I'll ask people if they want my autograph. "Hi, do you want my autograph? Who are you?" "I'm Phil Hendry." No, my husband might. Only I just found out that Craig Taylor calls out back and he tells him he's Phil Hendry. So now we got a problem if we're both calling on the same night. Taylor, do you really?
No.
Well, you ought to. You're now given permission. So I tried that with the LA Extreme, or is it the Express? Ha ha, just a joke. Any USFL fans would know what I'm talking about. However few of us are left, me and the guy that I hit going out of the parking lot that day. So I got my tickets, and it's going to be cool. I think they've got these rules that are awesome. Check this out. The XFL has this as a rule. You know how they have a coin toss at the beginning of the game? They ain't going to have that. They're going to have a ball sitting on the 50. They're going to have one guy standing on one goal line, the other guy standing on the other goal line, and they're going to race to the ball, and the first guy to get it, and then I guess run it into the opposing end zone. Oh, no, just grab it. The first guy has possession of it, his team gets the ball. No fair catches. Although there is what they call a five-yard halo around the guy who's catching the ball. But the coolest thing is, on the fourth down, when every team punts, the ball is live for both teams. So anybody that gets it, gets it. It's their ball. But you have to punt past the 25 yards to do that. So yeah, any kick longer than 25 yards. They're also going to have 1 foot down. You don't need to have 2 feet down in bounds. You only 1 foot down in bounds for a completed pass. That's a rule out of college ball. Contrary to some reports, though, they say that the head slaps are going to be illegal and quarterbacks will be protected. And other major rules change. The XFL will return to the good old days of pass defense. The bump and run is back, baby. The bump and run is back, which means cornerbacks and safeties can knock crap out of these receivers as they're going down the field for the ball. Which means more defense, which means the Ravens. On second thought, anyway, 1-800-449-86, more injuries, that's good. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry. I'm a celebrity. So where's my table? Anyway, we're talking about the XFL and the some of these rules changes, which are awesome. And I got my season seats today. I called the XFL LA Extreme today. I didn't pull any, you know, I could have. Well, where's your media relations department?
Well, sir, I don't know. Why do you want to know?
Well, I do a talk show in LA. I'm going to talk up your team. How about some free seats?
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was you, Mr. Hendry. Let me transfer you.
You know, I could have demanded that kind of treatment. Now, don't you think the XFL, or does the XFL already think they're the LA Raiders? Which means they'll be leaving town soon. Do they already think that they're the NFL? You know, they're going to need all the play they can get. I saw what happened to Maria when she was in Sacramento trying to give play to the WNBA, which is the Women's National Basketball Association, which, by the way, I happen to also enjoy. I watch that. I think it's great. I think those women do a great job. I think they give it all they got. I think it's great basketball. I don't give a crap about the NBA. You could kill every last one of those guys in a major air disaster, and I wouldn't miss them for a day. And that includes the Lakers. But these WNBA gals, man, they're great. And we watch the ball games. We take the kids to see the games. And they do great PR, and they love their fans. And, you know, they're really trying to build the league up. But Maria was up there trying to get the brass of the Sacramento Monarchs. Hey, can we get some of the girls on the team? I'm giving away tickets. Can you give me some tickets for a giveaway? Oh, no, not them, man. They can't even draw flies up there. They got about three people going to their games up there. And, oh, well, no, we don't do any comp tickets. You know, we're the Sacramento Monarchs. Oh, yeah, I've heard of you, huh? Sure, yeah, right. Monarchs, kings. I get it. How about a few freebies? We can give them away to the fans and get some people to turn out at your lousy games in that Arco Arena, which is 8 million miles outside of Sacramento. You ever seen the Arco Arena? It's like the Emerald City. It's just this thing. It's like an airplane hangar in the middle of a wheat field. You're driving out of Sacramento, and you're like, where is it, honey? Well, about 8 miles out, you can see it. Way out there, that thing on the in the prairie. They ought to call it the Prairie Arena. Anyway, enough about them. So I said, I could play it like that. I could say, hey, look, why don't you cats lay some tickets on me so I can start giving you some play? Who's giving you play other than the sports stations? And with all due respect to those guys, who's listening to them? So why don't you, I could do that, but I didn't. I went ahead and I laid out my jack. I got four seats plus the, season parking, which is about five and change. And I'm going to take the kids out. You know, they're going to go with their dad on the weekends that he's got them, and they go with me. Their dad's got 50-yard line seats. I only got ones on the 25. Okay, I feel crappy about that. I feel like I'm letting them down. I feel emasculated. Well, dad's got seats on the 50. What's this crap? Okay, fine. But it'll be cool. And I'll get to talk it up. But I could have, I could have played that card. I could have said, "What is it? What? Why do I have to buy anything in this town?" Well, anyway. By the way, these rules. So I left off. The bump and run is legal in the XFL, which means basically this: you can knock the crap out of the receiver, whether the ball's in the air, not in the air, on the sideline, whether it's a timeout, they don't care. So the receiver takes off, and pow! You can nail this guy and keep nailing him down the thing. Now, what they often said, and Mike was telling me, reminded me, what they used to often say about Jerry Rice, considered to be the greatest receiver ever to play, is that Jerry don't mind going over the middle. In this league, he will. And you know what? Jerry might wind up playing in this league. Jerry Rice doesn't mind going over the middle. He'll mind going over the middle when he's missing his head. When there's nothing in the helmet, he'll mind going over the middle. I don't know why. I don't have my head. It's over there? Okay. He'll mind going over the middle when somebody's going to take a forearm and knock all of his teeth out of his head. That's the great thing about football, isn't it? So I can't wait, and I won't be able to go to the game next Saturday because they're going to be playing San Francisco. I don't know, the San Francisco Jackballs. I don't know what the hell they're called. They're the San Francisco who? Ass wipes? Really? Okay. And then there's the Columbus Clowns. But who knows what these teams are called? In the Orlando, there's one team called the Orlando Rage. And I got to tell you, the name needs to be changed fairly quickly because if that don't sound like a gay bar, then I'm, why don't I just get out of the business? Have you been over to the Rage? It's just the Orlando Rage. Guys, seriously. change the name of that ball club because it sounds like a West Hollywood. I mean, all right, so don't change the name. Maybe that's what you want to, I mean, you know, is my homophobia showing? I don't mean anything by it. I know who these people are that own these teams. They probably want to think that the teams present a ferocious eminence, right? Well, not Orlando Rage. It sounds like there's going to be guys coming out in skirts. It sounds like the guys are going to be waiting your tables are drag queens, you know? What do you want, the chicken? Yeah. As a matter of fact, they got the New York, New Jersey Hitmen. They got a few things, so it ought to be a real blast. And that's coming up in about a week. And by the way, those people with that dog up in San Francisco, the attorneys who had that mastiff that killed that poor woman in the hallway, they wrote a letter to the DA in San Francisco explaining how it was the woman's fault because she might have been wearing some perfume or some other such thing. And I read that, and I thought that I was going to, that I might have to just go and kill me a lawyer. I got no problem with lawyers, but this guy's a lawyer with his wife. They live in Pacific Heights, and they've got these mastiffs, these pieces of crap. I don't know what these dogs are. That, you see, my philosophy is very simple, and we're going to be talking about this later on in the show. It's very simply this: animal bites a human, you kill it. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. If you think I'm joking, I'm not. People who are really into animals don't like other human beings. You see this more times than you want to talk about it. People who really got a thing for dogs and cats and birds and reptiles, you know, you've seen these people? They hate human beings. They hate other human beings. It's all about their dog. And the lack of rationale that comes with a human who has a dog that killed a human being. Why that person wouldn't want to have that dog put down immediately? There's only one reason. He's a colossal world record breaking imbecile with no morality to boot. If I had a dog that was responsible for the death of another human being, I would put that thing out of its misery with a 9-iron, with my car. Barring a firearm, which I do not own, I would run that bloody thing over with my car. And when an animal attacks a human being, I don't care if it's a little bite, because he's just my little poopsie. He just nipped you. Oh, he did. He just nipped me. You're right. He just nipped me. What are you doing? I'm throwing it under the wheels of that van. See it? Right there. Your little poopsie, huh? Your little baby, your little doll, you freak. Make human relationships. Make some human contact. Get a husband. Get a wife. Find some friends. Your poopsie is going into that cage, and the cage, I'm rolling down that hill, into that river. I worked in an animal hospital when I was a kid, when I was like in my high school years. I worked in a bloody animal hospital. These people would bring their dogs in. Get a load of this. You'll love this story. They'd bring their dogs in. And it would be all about how this is a little poopsie. Now, most of the dogs were great and the cats were wonderful. I like animals, okay? Not to the exclusion of human beings. I don't spend my whole day with cats and dogs and I got food dishes all around the house and the joint stinks like a freaking, like a kennel. But I like animals as far as they go. They're okay. I got a cat. We got a rat. Hope to get a dog one of these days. I'd like to get a retriever. I'm like most guys. I'd like to get a retriever because it's masculine, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not holding my breath, you know? So I used to work for this animal hospital, and they'd bring in their little doggies. You know, some woman, she's about 75, she's got on 14 pounds of makeup, looks like a well-kept grave, and she's holding the dog like it's a baby. I mean, you know how you hold babies? She's holding it like the thing's a baby. And she mentioned something to me, this one old lady, about the lips. It needs chapstick on its lips. And I remember the veterinarian was looking at me and going, lips? Dogs don't have lips. Anyway, I grab this dog. I say, okay, Mrs. So-and-so, well, I'll take him back to his cage now. Yeah, you do that. Great. So I go back. I put the dog in the cage. As I'm drawing my hand out of the cage, the dog rakes his teeth. He bites my hand and rakes his teeth down the length of my finger. You know what I did? I reared back, and in those days, I used to wear these nice petroleum-based heavy leather boots with a motorcycle buckle on it because I rode a bike in those days. I reared back with my right leg, and I kicked this freaking thing about 100 yards down the hallway till it smacked into the door leading to the outside. And that dog never gave me any more trouble. Now, if I hadn't been working for the doctor, if I hadn't been in an animal hospital, and if I hadn't been, you know, hadn't been really an area where other people would be responsible for my actions, I would have killed it. I would have snapped its neck right there and left it right where it was. No dog, no cat, nothing, no animal, no lower form of life should be allowed to attack a human being, I don't care what the reason, and be allowed to live. Now, if you think I'm saying this for shock value, well, great. You know, you're listening to the wrong show. Bug off. Because I'm telling you, I feel this from the very bottom of my guts. And when I read this story about this poor woman in San Francisco, I would have set fire to that guy's apartment with him and his wife in it. This woman is mauled to death 5 minutes, and this guy's got the brass balls to write a letter to the DA 18 pages long on how it was her fault because my wife was trying to hold the animal back, but it was only so much she could do. And, of course, we have two mastiffs in a one-bedroom apartment, and what's that all about? What is that? And this guy is an attorney for a couple of guys in prison, and it's creepy. Now, I don't mean any reason whatsoever. If you're being attacked by a dog, what did I just say? No person should be attacked by a dog and the dog should live. If you're taunting an animal, you know, I can understand, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about an innocent human being, a guy trying to deliver the mail, somebody trying to get into their apartment, someone taking a walk, somebody who by mistake walked onto somebody's property by 3 feet, a child playing in a backyard. You know the scenarios that I'm talking about. And an animal attacks those people and hurts them, you take a gun and you put a bullet in that thing's head. No ifs, ands, or buts. And again, I like animals, but I'm telling you, these people that are got this thing for cats and dogs, and they put hats on them and glasses, and you know what? Stay away from them. Let me give you the Phil tip of the day. Stay away from anybody that puts a hat on their dog. And the other cats that, like, when you've seen these guys riding around on motorcycles with their dog on the back, yeah, that's scary, too. Get away from that. You see that guy in traffic, I would pull off. Pull off and wait until he's well down the road. That's the Phil tip of the day, and we'll have more of them as we progress through our lives together. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. I was mentioning working in an animal hospital when I was younger and the ways that I would abuse the animals. And, of course, I'm wondering now if anybody's listening going, wait a minute, I had my dog in that hospital. I knew which one it was, Henry, and you're sued. But, no, I didn't abuse the animals. I loved them. And my job, I had to clean the cages out. And, I had to clean all the puke and the crap out of the cages. And then I'd take the dogs out to their nice sunshiny runs every morning. And then I'd go upstairs into the kitchen and I'd make the food for the dogs. The dogs got meal and meat mix plus water. The cats got pure meat plus water. And I put their little food bowls for them out, you know. And you don't feed an animal that's just out of surgery because they'll throw it up and it's bad for them. And but plus, if an animal, don't ever open the cage if an animal is coming out of the anesthetic from surgery, because if it's a cat, she'll take off on you, which is exactly what happened to me one day. And I got a cat just sunk its teeth into the knuckles on my right hand. A cat bite is really infectious. I got this cat bite, man. I remember my hand swelling up like a balloon. And boy, painful. God. I did all that stuff, you know, and then at the end of the day, bring the dogs in, and when the doctor wanted the dog, bring up number 151, Phil. I'd grab the dog, I'd go up there. I liked the dogs. I had a good relationship with German, what are the big sloppy ones, St. Bernards? Those were great dogs, but you talk about slobs. What a slob. Big slobbering slob of a dog. And great, nice, friendly, just, you know, all over toppy and everything. But they got the big, thick coats on them, so we'd give them haircuts in the summer. And we had a guy next door who was a groomer, and, you know, he's kind of like his Pierre was his name, and who knows, you know. Well, I don't know what I'd do with her. She's just, people would bring their dogs in as if they were getting their hair done for the weekend, you know. Like a woman goes to the salon, they bring these dogs into this grooming, this dude's, you know, Pierre's grooming parlor. And he was there, he had this little, pink smock on. Pierre, what do you think? I don't know. I can't do a thing with her. She looks like living hell. I don't think the dog show this weekend. Can you maybe put it off for a couple of weeks? You know, they'd bring them in, they'd have their, they'd get their winter coat shaved off, and I'd have to bring over the doctor and say, all right, Phil, take this one over to Pierre. Okay. Here, Pierre, here's a poodle, you know. Let's see, what am I going to do? With a little bow and some perfume powder on the dog. That's a hell of a job. How do you get into that? Why would you want to get into that? Well, not that it's a bad thing. Strange, isn't it? You know, what are you doing? Poodle grooming right now, I just dig it. It speaks to me. My heart sings when I groom a poodle. Everything that I've ever wanted to be is expressed when I give a poodle a comb out. I mean, I don't know. So that's what I did. But in the course of that, yeah, you'd run into a few dogs. We had a chow chow. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's a dog that's a kind of an Asian, flat-faced looking, big, furry piece of crap of a dog. Yeah, I know. A lot of you people own chows. I know what you're going to tell me. They're really sweet if you know how to deal with them. Sure, you bet. Whatever you say. And this thing almost took the leg right off one of the doctors. So I reached around behind it, and I strangled it, basically, is what I did. I cut its wind off, and I made it, and I just dropped the thing to the floor. It passed out. Now, it regained consciousness, and it was fine. Did it have brain damage? How would you know? All right, enough about how I'm cruel to animals, but, you know, they're wonderful, aren't they? And let's let them have run of our apartment complex and everything else. Didn't you say somebody, some dog, Melissa knew somebody, attacked somebody that she knew, and the owner of the dog, like, paid the guy $5,000, and that was it. And I heard this story, and I thought, that was back in the day when you didn't think to sue anybody, you know? Lawsuits are going down in the state of California. Just a rich person giving some poor guy 5 G's, you don't think to sue. What happened to me in Miami about 20 years ago is some guy pulled out, some dude in a Jag out of a ranch somewhere in Central Florida, pulled out of his driveway and nailed my car broadside. My girlfriend was driving it, destroyed my car and put my girlfriend in the hospital. And then took off and was caught about, oh, I don't know, half a mile down the road by a Florida highway patrolman. Well, this guy offered me 3 G's, and he offered my girlfriend for the repair on my car, and he offered my girlfriend I don't know how much money. And like a couple of young, stupid, soon-to-be radio personalities, we took it. You know, the guy calls me, oh, yeah, and they were rude about it, and I'll never forget talking to this guy's attorney, and he was like, yeah, he's running off you $3,000. Okay, I'll take it. Okay, great. Like, I could own that guy's ranch now if I'd been smart, if I'd been more of a slob, if I'd had less scruples. But no, not Henry. No, I gotta, you know, I'm working for a living, and I always work for a living because I just ain't that kind of guy. Honest? No, I was about to say smart. Anyway, 1-800-449... Was I getting too poignant there? Was that making you sad for me? Believe me, I'm happy now. 1-800-4... I just bought Craig's Volkswagen, so I've got another Volkswagen in my life. Never mind that it doesn't have brakes and it almost killed me one night. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget that number to get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. 877-616-7445.